all you entrepreneurs. Today we have Bill Protzman. He's a man of many hats. He is a pianist. He is a musician. He talks about his struggles growing up, his fight with depression, and how he learned how music could help him get over that, and how he helps people overcome their emotions with music. Take a listen. Please subscribe and tell your friends.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, success of an entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
I'm here with Bill Protzman. He is a musician, an artist, a pianist, a man of many hats.
Many hats.
All right, so tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I'm a guy who grew up playing the piano. So my mom taught piano, and okay. I was student number one. So you kind of don't have a choice. And she started me around 3 years old. And to be honest with you, for a long time, I really didn't like it.
Okay.
I mean, imagine yourself at 3 years old having to sit in front of a piano, right? What do you do with this thing? The truth is, I still remember the song I learned. The first and the second song I learned, they're still in my memory. No, unfortunately. You know how the piano has like black and white notes?
Yeah, yeah.
So the first song, you started with the lowest two black notes with one finger on each one. And you played those two, and then you went up to the next ones, played those all the way up to the top.
Yeah.
I think it was called Going Up. Oh. You can guess what the next song is, right?
Going down.
Same thing. Yeah, same thing. Okay. The other direction, right? So this is what that's what I remember. But when you get started that early, it kind of gets in you.
Yeah.
And I was reasonably good at it. I mean, good enough that I could work harder and kind of make something of myself. But I was never going to be like a classical piano player. Concert pianist, whatever. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
But it's even harder to do that and make a living than it is to like make a living in pro sports or whatever. Very few people do that. Yeah. So around college, when I was trying to decide on what to major in, I had this background in music. And I was like, I could keep on doing that. But I looked around at my classmates, nothing against you guys if you're listening, but I looked around at my classmates and said, I really don't want to spend more than half of my college life in a practice room or a music class. There's more to life, right?
Yeah.
And that's always been my approach. It's like more to life than just music. What else is out there and can be done? So I kept on playing, and I still play, and played concerts, played in bands, just had a great time with music, doing what I do. And played at a pretty high level, which is fun. You get some real serious people. There are incredible musicians out there, just amazing musicians out there that you'd never hear of, but just have this incredible gift. Being able to see them, work with some of them, be inspired by them, like up close and personal, like us across the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So thank God for music, because it's really brought that part of my life, which couldn't be filled up any other way, into more like a fruition. I'm not standing on the outside. I'm actually able to get into the pool and kind of paddle around a little bit with people who are doing this amazing work. But that's not all. You know, that's just like one of the hats.
Yeah.
So it's been with me all my life, still play. I'm doing a gig on Sunday with a pickup band.
Okay.
There's a lot more to that story. But it's great to be invited into a project and to be able to have something to contribute in a real way that's inspiring and that works together with other people. When you make music with someone, this is the thing, Vinny, when you make music with somebody, you get to know them in a way that you don't really know in your regular world of connections with people, even your spouse. And I'm lucky because my spouse and I make music together, so that's how we met. But it creates a bond that you don't have any other way.
Yeah.
It's really intriguing. And all of those little fascinating bits about how music works have become part of what I do and what I hope to teach people and at least share with them if they pick it up, great.
Yeah.
So it's been with me all my life. And the piano is just like one way in. You can get there with an iPod if you still have that, with your phone. Streaming music services are great. There's lots of ways in.
So pianist. So you perform, you teach, and then you do it for fun too with your wife.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
So I've been fortunate. I've had some paying gigs in my life. You know, that's nice. But there's more to it. So the fascinating thing about music for me is, I can make it, but to watch what happens in an audience when music is happening, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, look around at a concert and see what's happening in the room. Do you guys know Owl City? Have you ever heard of them?
Possibly.
They're an EDM band, so electronic dance music.
Okay.
But they have kind of a faith-based overtone to them. And I got to hear them at the Observatory here in North Park.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just a big room, standing room, no seats. And I was in there, and this is a new band. So they've been around maybe, 10 years? Hmm. And in the room with us that night, amongst all these people jumping around, jumping and bopping around, there were little kids. So I was there with my family, and we, at that time, I think we ranged in age from about 9 up to 13 or 14, three stepdaughters, my wife. There were, like, people in their 60s and 70s in there. So we had it all the way from the little kids up to the grandparents. Everybody was responding to this music. Hmm. And we're talking music that literally was shaking my internal organs. It was that loud.
Wow.
I had, you know, ear protection in.
Yeah.
But I could feel it. And when you can feel music like that, something happens to you. And what was happening that night was like joy and inspiration. Just people going nuts over this incredible music.
Yeah.
It's not my music, but you can't deny that that effect happened
for
those people that night in the concert. And it doesn't matter, it's Owl City or whatever. If you love something that much, wow, you can move with that. You can get things done with that kind of music, right?
It's a language. It's the international language that anyone speaks.
Anybody can speak it. It didn't matter what they were singing or saying. It was the response just was like there.
So I see the passion that you have when you talk about music. And I know you do some like kind of therapy, I guess, with music, or how to describe that. How does that really work?
Great question. So I'm not a music therapist. I can be honest about that.
Okay.
Music therapists have been to school and they have a credential
and
they're board certified, which means that they all can do the same kinds of stuff with you and music. So it's a therapeutic modality in that setting. What I teach is how people can use music on their own by themselves.
Okay.
Same science, but you don't need a therapist to get the effects of music that you can get on your own.
Wow.
Now, there are people, of course, if you have Alzheimer's, if you have some disability, where a music therapist is trained to be able to work with you, that's a huge difference. And I don't go there out of respect for music therapists. They're the ones who are trained to do that.
Yeah.
But I'll play for a room of Alzheimer's patients, and you can watch them respond, or play for a room of Parkinson's patients. You can watch them respond in amazing ways, just incredible ways.
So diving more into that, you play for them. Do you allow them, like, I guess, like snippets where you see the reactions come off and then you allow them to play that over and over, or like they record that? Is that kind of?
Yeah, it works that way. So if you're dealing with memory, often old songs will get into people's memory and light them up.
Yeah.
Those music memories, the science tells us, are probably the oldest ones we have. So music simply reaches in and lets them go. It's like turning the switch.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is keep playing music. Yeah. And as long as the music is going, they're there and they're just loving it. They're just like reimagining or re-experiencing all of those memories that are connected to that music for them. And you don't have to be a therapist to do that, right?
Yeah.
You just like start the music. And it doesn't matter, even if it's me playing, I just play it off a recording. But showing someone how to use a music player and what music to use to elicit the response that they want to have, that's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
And this is all about getting into your emotions. You know how we're afraid of emotions?
Yeah.
I mean, Westerners generally don't have a healthy use for things like anger and fear. Look around us right now, right? There's so much of this crazy going on. But you can really use anger and you can really use fear if you know how to use them.
Yeah.
If they show up and scare you to death, that's no good. But if you get familiar with what fear feels like for you, it starts to become this language, and there's levels of it. There's, you know, like abject terror, and then there's, oh, I better pay the mortgage today. Both are fear-based, right?
Yeah.
Pay the mortgage, you're going to get a credit ding, you know. If you don't run away from the saber-toothed tiger, you're going to get eaten. So somewhere in that range, there's lots of, the spectrum of fear is huge. Same with anger, and you know the same thing with joy, and obviously with sadness. So four basic emotions, and helping people to dial into the emotion that they need at that moment is a really powerful thing.
Hmm.
Boss yells at you. What do you do? You can sort of release that with music in the moment. You can put it aside and release it later on. But for heaven's sakes, don't stuff it.
Yeah.
You'll wind up like me, like as a kid, you know. No way to experience emotion except at the piano. That's not great.
So from your experience then, is different styles of music affect different people in different ways?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's so much music.
Yeah.
It's so incredible. We have such this rich variety of music that's available. I generally talk to people about the music they love.
Yeah.
Because that could be different for you or me or anybody else. Mm. And it's usually the music that's closest to you that's the most powerful.
Okay.
Stuff we grew up with, like in our adolescence for the most part. That stuff kind of stays with us.
Yeah.
But if you're a music hunter and you like listening broadly, you're going to find other music that just really gets you in ways that you'd never expected that it would, right?
Yeah.
So I grew up in the 60s and 70s. So, you know, my music is all Beatles and Elton John and stuff like that. I was a classical piano player, so there's a bunch of classical music in that as well.
Yeah.
That's like my meaningful music.
Yeah.
But it never precludes me from finding new meaningful music that's out there now. And people are always like, hey, Bill, you got to listen to this song. And some of it is amazing, just incredible stuff.
So when you're talking with someone that has Alzheimer's like that, you're trying to help them learn how to do this themselves. Mm-hmm. Is it now trying to get the question out of them of what music was played when they were younger, or is it playing a variety of music and then seeing the reactions? Or how
so
does that work?
There are two ways to look at that. Working directly with somebody who has Alzheimer's, like in a therapeutic setting, I don't get to do that.
Okay.
But if I've got an Alzheimer's patient in a crowd and I'm playing music that resonates for them, which is a total chance kind of a thing, you know, maybe something you play will catch them, then magic happens for them.
Okay.
So generally what I do with an Alzheimer's patient, I work with their caregivers. Mm. Caregivers are incredibly stressed out people, and especially if it's like your own parent. But you can work with a caregiver and say, hey, I've got this idea that music might be useful for your mom or your dad, who can't remember anything else.
Yeah.
Why don't you try playing some songs that you were listening to when you were growing up that are important to them and see what happens? That can be really powerful. A good example of that, my dad didn't have Alzheimer's, but the only time I ever saw him cry, he was in a concert. I was playing with my mom, a room full of people, and I played a song that was important to them.
Yeah.
And I saw my dad cry, one only time in my life. And it happens to be a song that the Beatles have recorded, and it was from a musical way back in the day and all of that, Till There Was You.
Oh.
And it was just incredible. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I knew the song had been around. It was in our family sort of library of music. But for Dad, it like unlocked some memories. And that was a beautiful thing. We're a pretty stiff upper lip family. You know, Midwestern, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So to see like an elder in your family have an emotional response to anything is a big deal. That was a huge big deal. And it was a beautiful, huge big deal.
So your wife plays, you play, mom played.
Yeah.
And
Dad was like one finger poking out notes on it. He did. My sister plays. She teaches. So yeah, musical family.
Oh wow. So did your dad feel out of place?
No, you know, I don't think he did.
No, okay.
No, he felt like supported by it all.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Although when I started practicing every morning at 6 a.m. and, you know, the piano was downstairs in the living room right below their bedroom. So I'm sure that getting that wake up call at 6 a.m. scales up and down the piano.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he was cool about it.
So you usually hear with music or artists, it's a passion project. Yeah. What are some of the struggles? It hadn't be easy to make a living or even survive off of music. What are some of the struggles you've kind of gone through?
This is a really great question. As a kid, I'm a musician, I'm a creative. Yeah. And there's a personality type that kind of goes with that.
Yeah.
I'm there. So my issue growing up was chronic depression. Mm. And I didn't start to address that until my 30s. So imagine living that long, that unaware.
Yeah.
And then finally finding somebody who's willing to help you peel the onion a little bit and see what's going on inside there. And so I lived with chronic depression for a long, long time, not even really understanding what it was, just feeling like, well, this is my normal.
Yeah.
Once I started to see that there was more to it and that I had options, oh my gosh, things started to open up.
Hmm.
And they opened up in both ways. So I'll be honest with you, they opened up on the good side, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
It was great to be able to see that I had a choice about what I was feeling. But I had packed so much in there, so much anger over such a long time, that not only was I chronically depressed, I was suicidally ideated.
Wow.
And I still struggle with that. There are days where I wake up and go, you know, this would be a good day to keep breathing. And that's about the level that I deal with that these days. There were two times in my life where I was like really close to just ending it all. And not through any kind of reaction to anything, just like, you know what, I've done it all. What's left to do here?
Yeah.
And in both cases, music kind of saved me and got me through that.
Hmm.
The second one is most important to me because by that time, in 2007, I'd learned enough about how music was working that I felt like, I'll apply all this science to my own self and see if this makes a change for me. And it did, fortunately, because I'm still here talking to you.
Yeah.
And it's good to go that deep. So the challenges in my life have been like breaking through, getting to levels of understanding and depth that are and sometimes that can be scary,
yeah,
but are always rewarding. So it takes a lot of courage to do that. I've had to learn courage and had to challenge myself to actually stay engaged in situations where it's, you know, it's difficult to have a reason to keep going.
Yeah.
But it works. It works.
So what's driven you to keep going then?
Well, most recently, I'll describe the experience for you because it helps to have it in context.
Yeah.
When the Labor Day weekend of 2007 rolled around, that Friday night, it was Friday afternoon, I was an empty nester, so my kids had gone off to college, which had been an amazing summer because my daughter came out to me after graduation that year and then went off to college. And just such a beautiful thing. So all this amazing stuff had happened in my life. I was divorced for the second time, bankrupt for the second time. I'd made plenty of music. There were just lots of things. All the cats had died. You know, there wasn't really a whole lot left that I needed to stick around for. And I was just feeling like I was done. Just feeling like, you know what? I've done everything I need to do. And it was one of those things where, yeah, I could keep going, but why? What's left? What's out there? I was at that place of just not knowing what the future would hold. And not being closed to it, but also not being open to it.
No.
Just saying, you know what? I've kind of done it all.
Yeah.
Kind of done it all. And I was thinking seriously about taking my own life. I mean, kids could use the insurance money. I don't know, whatever. You think at that time.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Your thoughts are just sort of very flat and logical.
Yeah.
I didn't have any pain. I wasn't running away from anything. It's just like, you know, why? Why keep on with this? And instead of doing that, I said, well, I'll take my own medicine, and I will listen to some music. And I'll allow the music to work on me at a level that's deeper than I've ever allowed it to work before. And I chose a song that I love. I can play it. And it's a Rachmaninoff etude or something that happens to be called Seagulls. Slow, sad music. And I put on my headphones, and I sat in a comfortable chair, and I just started to listen. And the sun went down, and I must have listened to that song for, I don't know, a couple hours. At some point, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, it was dark. The song was still playing. And I turned it off and went to bed. So, you know, I'll deal with this in the morning, right? Just too tired to do anything else.
Huh.
I must have cried for, I don't know, the better part of those 2 hours. I mean, I just let it all go and let this music come in and do whatever it is that it has to do.
Yeah.
So I went to sleep. Woke up the next morning, and there were words running around in my head. And I'm kind of a writer, and so I said, I'll take dictation. I'll write these down. And it turns out that it was words to a song. There were like four verses and a bridge and the whole thing. It was like, wow, this is a song. And I got the words all done, and then I sat there and said, okay, so this is great, but now who's going to sing this? And very clearly, as clear as I'm talking to you, I heard this voice that said, you are. And I don't sing.
Yeah.
But there was music, got the music. By noon, the whole thing was done. And I've performed it a couple of times in front of live audiences.
Yeah.
Really crazy things. But all of a sudden, I was re-engaged in this thing that I do, this music thing that I do. Shortly after that, I think a therapist said to me, hey, Bill, you've got to be doing this for veterans. Because veterans are really stressed. And they could use what you teach with post-traumatic stress. And that would, you know, help a lot of people. Okay, I'll get out there and try to do that. And we talked about caregivers and a woman who started a caregiver support NGO and nonprofit for Alzheimer's caregivers reached out and said, hey, can you like do it, teach us about what you do?
Yeah.
So it just started to open up and doors opened that wouldn't have opened, of course, if I hadn't been there. And it's been like that ever since. Just things happen to take it to the next level. It's not so much me saying, well, I'm going to, you know, do this thing for veterans.
Yeah.
The doors have opened up out of that.
So it all started from just sitting down there and letting the sadness come over you.
Just let it go. Like experiencing it fully.
Wow.
And it's kind of become a practice of mine. If I get hit with an emotion that I recognize, there's so many of them hit us from day.
Yeah.
But if I get hit with emotion, I realize that I need to sit there and spend some time with it. And I'll find music that supports that emotion, whatever it is, and just be with that music until I feel like I've rinsed the emotion out of my system.
I'm assuming there has to be some kind of remnants of the emotion, though, right?
Oh, yeah. And this is the fun thing. So once you start peeling the onion, right, there's always onion left.
Yeah.
our onions are infinite. So I haven't finished with depression yet. I still have moments of abject depression. I support them with music, and I allow them. Instead of fighting them, I allow them. And I find that over years, they come and go quicker. You know, I feel like they're more friendly than antagonistic.
Oh, wow.
And it's just through experience. Music can help us go into an emotion without having to express it, if that makes any sense. So you can experience sadness without weeping, although most of us still do. You can experience fear without, like, getting the fight or flight kind of thing. But you don't have to beat anybody up if you're angry.
Yeah.
You can have the anger without the expression of it, which is a good thing. Yeah, that's for me. There are lots of people like to beat each other up. Did you know there's a veteran support group for post-traumatic stress veterans, an MMA group? They go and beat each other up.
Wow, no.
And then they have a rap session about post-traumatic stress. Wow. And it works great for them. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that's great. Fly fishing, they got that. Guitars for Vets, you make music. They all have their audience. And with 7 billion people in the world, right, there ought to be some variety.
Oh, definitely.
So hey, if music is your thing, I can help. But if it isn't, no problem.
So if you could talk to your younger self, or maybe a young musician right there, what kind of advice would you give them? And I can only imagine what advice you give yourself, but just in general, like, what would you give?
Well, for myself, I'd just say, Bill, keep going.
Okay.
Keep going. It's going to be all right. Keep going.
Yeah.
Young musicians. So one of the amazing things that we have now that we didn't have when I was a kid is the ability to stream live.
Yeah.
And if you're a young musician and you want to get it out there, do Facebook Live. Just start putting it out there.
Yeah.
You'll get an audience. There are bands that do nothing but play in their garage, and they're supported. And when was this article? A couple of years ago? Bands making 6 figures a month on gift cards and whatever people send them over the internet just because they like the music.
Yeah.
And if you can't get to wherever, Stockholm, you know, send them an Amazon gift card. Help support the band and support the music.
It's impressive what technology has allowed to happen.
Yeah.
That you can get your voice out there, the talent that no one would ever heard of before.
And the talent is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many. I mean, remember back in the day, we're saying, well, there's, you know, the Beatles made it, but there are so many other bands who were just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably are. Now we know who they are.
Yeah.
Because they're out there.
Yeah. All you need is like you said, go on Facebook.
You need a
Facebook
microphone.
And someone's going
to
hear it.
And people want to. They really want to. I'm on a few different distribution services for live recordings and stuff like that. Mine are all sort of canned in the CD.
Yeah.
But services will put you up live because it helps promote your music. And, of course, that promotes the service and everything else. So you all know the big one, which is iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. And NPR has their Tiny Desk thing that they do where people come in the studio and perform live. And
So what do you see next for musicians? So I know you're saying that, like, you can put on Facebook and people just give them money out of the goodness of their heart. Being that there's, like, iHeart and all these platforms, they're lower cost than what you'd buy for someone's CD
right.
You know, back in the day. What do you see for the business, or what do you see for your business?
Oh, yeah. The music industry is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
It used to be pretty easy to figure out that an LP translates into so many dollars for the producer and so much for the, you know, the artist. Not anymore. Intellectual property is kind of where this is all going. And I like the fact that we're paying attention to intellectual property. There's more to success than money. Money helps. But if you've got something of value, that value could be spiritual. It could be emotional. It could be physical. It could be mental.
Yeah.
And if you're making a fair trade on, let's say, a mental opportunity, I teach you how to do something with your mind that you wouldn't have otherwise known.
Yeah.
And in return, you provide some useful service or something back to me. It's taking it out of the realm of just finding success in commerce and money into being able to use these other avenues to help create fulfillment in somebody's life.
Yeah.
Artists and musicians have always been in that place because many of us can't make a living off of our art specifically. So we find other ways to make it work. But that kind of trade is fair. It's a fair exchange.
Yeah.
Probably not going to buy a house off of something like that. But there are other things that do work in exchange. There are some therapists out there who will trade you for your modality. So you come in and teach them how to use music, and they can teach you how to, you know, use candles or whatever it is that their thing is.
Yeah.
And those kinds of trades work well because you create a trusted ally, and then together you can build your business. So for musicians who are up and coming, I'd say look for ways to extend what you do that don't have to do with so much extending what you do for cash, but extending what you do for the benefit of everybody in society. Like if you happen to be working with somebody who leaves drum circles, hey, sit in with their drum circle, whatever your instrument might be, and provide some music while the rest of them are drumming. You can sit in on dance classes if you're a drummer or guitar and help provide rhythm for the dance class. In exchange, you might wind up learning a dance yourself or being part of what the drum circle ethos is. There's lots of ways to roll that out there. For me, being a musician and a piano player, my instrument weighs 2,000 pounds.
Yeah.
I can't like move that thing, you know, very easily.
Yeah.
So I've got to be able to do what I do without the piano.
Yeah.
And that means if I walk into a boardroom or a corporate setting, I've got to be able to be convincing enough with whatever I can bring on a streaming music player to get the point across in a meaningful way for them. It costs more to be a piano player because you got to pay moving charges, right? So it makes sense to think, how can I do this outside the box?
Yeah.
What do I have to give that isn't like related to this giant black piano that I can move into an environment where people can appreciate it without that piano modality? So for me, that might mean a kazoo. I've had rooms full of people kazooing and rooms full of actually DOD, Department of Defense, you know, brass on the coats, that whole thing, all playing the kazoo, looking at me funny, but it works, right? Yeah. So they have a modality right there that they can pick up and use. And, you know, most people aren't going to pick up a guitar and be, you know, Santana in a day, but that's fine.
I was in Santana in a week, in a month, in a year. I try to play guitar and I was horrible.
I can't play it. My fingers don't do that fret thing.
Yeah.
But you can get them to a place, even if you just like tune it right and just have them strum so it sounds right.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing to watch people light up around that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It trips triggers that don't get tripped any other way. And they're all good triggers, right? They're triggers you want to trip.
Well, you have... My mind's still going. You have a great story of how everything's played out with your own depression and showing other people how you were able to help yourself with the music and going forward. Now, if someone wanted to reach out to you for, I guess, one of like depression or just to learn the techniques that you've kind of done, how would they do that? Or maybe they want to hire you for a job. But
yeah, I do the sort of coaching, advising thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That works. You can get an online course on this. Nobody was really teaching self-care using music, so I wrote a course on it. You can get that online. It's a pretty self-evident thing.
Yeah.
We all listen to music like when we're jogging, working out, whatever. I've seen people swimming with music, headphones on. So music is there.
Yeah.
But the intelligent use of it to really make a change in your life...
Yeah.
We could get you over the hill and just like start that process.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating process. And like your own self-care, if you're giving yourself care using therapy or some other thing, it's sort of endless. It's a life skill that'll last you your entire life. And why not, right?
Well, so what's the website? What's the website?
A couple websites. Okay. You can find me by name, but musiccare.net.
Okay.
MUSICCARE.net.
Okay.
Is the starting point out there. It's not just all music, though, so I built another website called practicalheartskills.com because there's so much about what is underneath our self-awareness, I guess is a good word to use. Wellness is not just being healthy. It's being aware of what you have to do to be well. So I built Practical Heart Skills to give people help and guidance on that, too. And it's not just music. I happen to know a little something about music, but along the way you pick up other things, right? And you can see how music might unlock some of those magical things that are part of all of us, right? Mm. Where if you didn't have music, you might not be able to turn the key and find out what the richness is that's there that you're missing about your own self.
Yeah.
And it's been a fascinating journey to do that.
Well, Bill, I appreciate all the time you've given us.
Sure.
You know, for all you listeners out there, hopefully that you've picked something up, you've learned something. Any negative can turn into a positive. Just this podcast alone should show you that. But please... Tell your friends, please subscribe. Love to hear your feedback. Thanks again, Bill.
Hey, Benny, thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.